the gospel reading from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. Breathe on us the breath of life. Amen. There is a story that is told in our society that describes a person striving for success and greatness. In the story, success and greatness are measured in terms of how much recognition is given, how many rewards are obtained, and how much power is held. It is a story of glory, where winning in positions of prestige and power are the ultimate goal. And in this story of glory, everyone looks out for number one. It is a story that revolves around the individual's desires for power, success, and recognition. This story of glory is not new. It has been told for thousands of years. It was a story that was told when Jesus was walking the earth. It is a story that many of Jesus' disciples buy into. In our text for today, we see that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, buy into this story of glory. They come to Jesus and they ask him a question. And the question they ask is kind of like when my daughter is trying to get me to give her the answer that she wants. And she says, "Mommy, will you do whatever I ask?" She wants me to say yes. But of course, I say, well, it depends on what you ask. James and John come to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, we want you to give us whatever we ask of you." Jesus replies, "What is it that you ask?" And then the Zebedee brothers lay out their bold request. "We want you to grant us to sit on your right and left when you enter your glory." In other words, give us positions of prestige when you enter your glory. James and John are seeking the spotlight. They want to make sure they are in positions of recognition when Jesus displays his power and strength, like the kind of power that Psalms 104 describes, where God is clothed in majesty and honor. They want a front row seat to the kind of power and majesty that drives the waters back in fear. Not only do they want front row seats, they want to be in seats of power when Jesus wins against the Roman Empire and all the forces that have oppressed them. They want to be in the winning seats of power, prestige, and glory. Now, with this laser focus on attaining glory, they neglect certain things, like other people. Notice they are only asking for seats of power for themselves. They completely leave out the other 10 disciples. And of course, when the other disciples hear about this, they are ticked. I mean, wouldn't you be too? This story of glory that the Zebedee boys buy into upholds a selfish promotion that only looks out for number one while neglecting everyone else. Jesus then warns the disciples that this story of glory as defined by society leads to misuse of power and oppression, where power is lorded over others. Now we see this story of glory all around us. We see it in the way our society elevates celebrities and worships them. We hold up their positions of fame and prestige as goals to celebrate. We place them up on pedestals as models of success to honor and glorify. And we are often surprised when we hear of certain celebrities misusing their position of power to harm or threaten others. It can be difficult at times to reconcile the image of glory surrounding a celebrity with the hidden hurt that they have caused. We see the story of glory in our political world. We are in campaign season, as you are all aware, and we are bombarded by political campaigns that are all about bashing opponents in order to glorify their own candidate. Most political leaders care more about winning than they do about the actual needs of citizens. And too often, issues of policy that are voted on in the House and Senate have more to do with a particular political party winning over against the other than they actually considering how the policy will affect the real lives of people. The story of glory in politics is more about wielding power and lording it over others than it is about attending to the needs of citizens who they are supposed to represent and serve. We also see this story of glory in the church. The church has too often bought into attaining power and prestige in society. We see this when the church marries itself to a political party and is blinded by aspirations of glory and winning in the political world. We see this when the church sells itself out in order to maintain power in society. We see this story of glory when the church misuses its power in priding itself in being the gatekeeper of God's kingdom, determining who's in and who's out of God's kingdom. We see this in the way the church has misused its power to oppress others in the name of Christian colonization. In this story of glory, success is determined by making people more like us, white, middle-class Americans. We also see this story of glory in ourselves. As we strive to make it in the world, we long to receive recognition and praise. In our careers, we aspire to be seen as the best. In our parenting, we treasure praise and glory that we receive for our children's behavior and accomplishments. In our spiritual journey, we seek the benefits of following Jesus while attempting to avoid or skip over the difficult challenges that we might face. We seek the glory while avoiding the hard stuff. And often, in our striving for glory and success for ourselves, we fail to see our neighbors who are in need. This story of glory that society tells us is one where power and prestige are marked by winning to the neglect of others. It is a story where power is used to lord over others. In light of this story of glory, Jesus not only tells a different story, but embodies one. He embodies a story of service. In his interaction with the disciples, the Zebedee boys ask their question of Jesus about glory immediately after Jesus predicts his own suffering and death for the third time as they are making their way to Jerusalem, where he will be killed. Talk about insensitive timing. Jesus tells them he is going to be killed, and they ask about receiving glory and honor. They still don't get what following Jesus is all about. It's not about holding positions of honor. It's about serving others. When God comes to earth in the person of Jesus, the story of service shines forth in that God doesn't hold on to the seat of honor. God steps down and becomes one of us. We see this story of service throughout Jesus' life and ministry, in which he continually gives of himself for others. His aim isn't to attain fame, praise, or a comfortable life. He gives his attention and time to others. He spends time with those who are pushed to the margins of society. He heals the sick and eats with those who are sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. He welcomes children, feeds the hungry, and restores ostracized people to community. Through Jesus' death, he pours out himself for others. He doesn't go to Jerusalem seeking glory, accolades, and power to crush the Romans like the Zebedee boys envision. He goes to Jerusalem, is arrested, and killed because he lives out of a different story that is in direct opposition to the story of glory of those in power. He gives himself up in love so that others can have life. He pours himself out and shows that true glory comes from service. And he asks his disciples, James and John, can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you pour yourselves out in love for others? Jesus tells them they don't know what they are asking by requesting to sit at his right and left, because the two that are beside Jesus are the two men who were hanged on the cross on his right and his left. Being next to Jesus means giving up your life. Following Jesus, drinking of his cup and sharing in his baptism involves sacrifice that is not always easy and not always comfortable. Following Jesus involves using our power to serve others, not lord it over them. We are called to follow Jesus in the story of service. And I'm not saying it's wrong to want to do well in life. It's not wrong to want to make good grades or be at the top of the class. It's not wrong to want to succeed in your career. But we need to ask ourselves, what story are we living out of? What is driving us? What story have we bought into? Are we living out of the story of glory that society tells us? Or are we living out of the story of service that Jesus embodies? In order to help us to live out of the story of service that Jesus embodies, we need to lift up stories of service. We need to share the stories of how people have served and given of themselves to help others so that we are continually shaped by these stories. A story of service that comes to my mind is the story of my grandmother. We called her Grandmama, and she lived right next door to us as we were growing up. My dad worked a lot, which left my mom to do a lot of things by herself around the house. And with three little kids, that is a lot for one person to do. And my grandmother would come over and help her daughter-in-law, my mother, with whatever she needed. She would fold clothes, she would do laundry, she would help clean the house, she would take care of us kids, she would invite us kids to stay over at her house at night. She fed us, she played with us, she laughed with us. My grandmother was also a woman of prayer. She prayed all the time, and people would always come to her asking her to pray for them for healing, because she had a reputation of being a healer. Whenever she would pray for healing for someone, it often happened. And she never hesitated to pray for people when they asked. My grandmother also showed grace and kindness to others, particularly those who were not nice to her. There were some members of her family that were always really nasty to her. But I never heard her say a bad word about them. I never saw her respond with nastiness in return. She always extended kindness and grace to them. My grandmother embodied the story of service. She was always willing to lend a helping hand to those in need. She prayed for others continually. She visited people in the hospital, held their hand, and listened to them share their stories of struggle. She was a beacon of grace, compassion, and service. And I want us to spend a few minutes this morning to open it up to for you to share your stories of service. How have you seen someone in your life embody the story of service where they gave of themselves for others? We're going to take a few minutes now. And if you have a story, if you want to share it quickly, feel free to do so. Just say it nice and loud so we all can hear.
My sister Marie was really a good ambassador for God. I mean, she'd be in a crowd and everyone would be talking about someone. She would always think of something nice to say about it. And she would always do something good for them. And I remember her today when I hear someone and the devil praise someone. I always think of her because she never did ever take any credit for anything.
I'm thinking of my parents. All through their lives, they visited. My father was a milkman, and he worked long hours. But on Sundays, they would always go and visit a hospital, a nursing home, even into their 80s and probably into their 90s. They were service-oriented.
Of Debbie's parents, because I've heard so many stories of them in the 50s, 60s, taking in people into their home, feeding them, clothing them, giving them a place to stay, whether it be family or not. They housed a lot of people for years, and they were not wealthy people. They were not wealthy people, but they took people into their home.
Thanks. I think of Sue Alice Anderson, this church, she played the organ before my mom did. She moved in with my mom when they were young, and my grandmother, her mother passed away, she took care of, and Ryan's name for her. And so I was blessed kind of to grow up with two grandmothers, and she always said if she had been Catholic, she would have been a nun, because she lived in this church. She did everything in this church and taught us upstairs in the room. And I think of Halloween right now coming up, because we all have these UNICEF boxes. She made sure every kid had a little orange, little UNICEF boxes, and we made sure we filled those up and brought them back to church after Halloween. So I just think of her every day.
A friend of mine, when I was at Tribeca, his dad is just the best man of God I've ever known. He was this fantastically gifted artist and musician and jeweler, but he was also a Nazarene pastor. So all of these gifts he gave freely. He would paint these phenomenally detailed, intricate murals for local schools, and And then he opened his home up to, they opened their home up to anyone who had need. There was a lot of gang violence in the community that they lived in, and there were always just this flood of kids coming in and sometimes going out, but kids who were troubled with gang violence, who were affiliated with local gangs, and they would accept them, welcome them into their home, give them a place of loving family. And I only met him a couple of times, but just, he's shaped me so much of who I am. I'm just always impressed.
When I was new at Lincoln Marine Methodist as their music director, there was a lady in my choir who, her name was Mac. And that wasn't her real name, but Mac, that's what she went by. And she was always at the church, doing something. But particularly, she would take up all the music we had already used, put it all away, pull out, and chase down all the extra copies. Are you number 10? Give me that music. You know, she was that kind of person. And but I remember her particularly walking into the sanctuary one day, and the sanctuary had a ceiling higher than a cathedral type ceiling, and she was up on this ladder way up high in the air, custodian standing at the bottom, and she was changing out the bulbs because she said David was scared of heights and she wasn't letting him quiet in that. So she was kind of spunky. I hope to be like her.
I think we all serve God. When you pick up the telephone and you call somebody that is sick, when you take food to somebody, when you offer to take them to the doctor, I think we serve God every day, each one of us.
That is a good note to end on. I hope that these stories of service that we have lifted up today and the stories that you hold in your heart of people you know, I hope that they continue to shape us into being followers of Jesus, who share love and compassion and give of ourselves for others. Amen.
I invite those assisting with the offering to gather at the back of the sanctuary as we respond to God's word by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for these gifts that you have given us, and now we give back to you. Bless them, multiply them, and use them for your work in the world. Through the giving of our time, talent, and resources, may we follow you in giving of ourselves in service with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.